Hello, everybody. Hope you can hear me. If you give me a wave so I know that you can hear me okay, fantastic. Good to see you. Today's message is simply entitled, God Will Make a Way. There's so many ways I can describe it, but what I want to do is start back a couple weeks back. We had a prayer meeting, and in fact, I was actually leading part of the prayer meeting, and it was around God speaking to us and the ways that God may speak to us. And in that prayer meeting, I shared that one of the ways that God may speak to us is a dream. And interestingly, that same night, I had three dreams concurrently, really stark dreams that I felt that I should share with you today, and really quite powerful dreams. The first dream, when I say me, I'm also talking about us as the royal me, just like the royal we. But it was basically, I was coming back from a meeting just like this. It was a sense that we were coming back from a meeting, like a prayer meeting or somewhere where we was, or a service, or was preaching some kind of ministry. And I came out into the road and I'm walking from the meeting, and there was an ambush waiting. And the only thing I can say to you, that this ambush was just coming closer and closer and closer to me. And I was kind of like frozen, as into, you know, what do I do? And it was intense. You could see that from their point of view, they were very angry that I was either sharing the gospel or ministering or something like that, something to do with speaking out for God. And they kept getting closer and closer and closer and closer. And I was getting to the point where I was thinking, I don't know what to do, because they were all around me. Some had guns, some had knives, some had different things like that. And I was like, Lord, what do I do? And they were kept coming, and my heart was beating even faster and faster. And then out of nowhere, the police swarmed the entire area, helicopters, there were people running from cars, people jumping and catching people, people trying to get away, and they caught everybody. And it was amazing, because within, I don't know, about 30 seconds, a minute, all of them were under arrest. I could see them being loaded onto cars and different things. And somebody had obviously called the police and say something was happened, and the ambush didn't work. The second dream was after that, I was thinking, right, I better get home. And I found myself in a tower block, like a high-rise building. And in that high-rise building, I was coming down the stairwell. So I don't know if you're familiar with a stairwell, but sometimes it's lit and you can see it from the outside. And it was coming down the stairwell. And what was happening, I was coming down the stairwell, but then the walls kept getting closer and closer and closer, and I could see that something was trying to entrap me or keep me in a jail. And I was kept going, so I was thinking, I better run down the stairs to see if I can get out of this. And every time I started to run down, the walls were getting closer and closer and closer, and it eventually got to this place where I was cramped in this tight space, and there was just bars all around me. And I was like, I can't believe it, what's happening to me? And then I heard another voice, and it was a voice of a lady who was also in the stairwell, and the same thing was happening to her. She was a pregnant lady, same thing was happening to her. She was saying, the same thing's happening to me. And then I could hear another voice somewhere else. I couldn't see them, but I could hear another voice saying, I'm stuck, I'm trapped, I couldn't. No matter what I did, all the plans that I tried to put together, all the things that maybe if I try and squeeze through there, I just kept getting more and more tightened up, and it was more and more encased. Eventually, I got to the end of myself, and it was just like, there was just bars, and I was literally just looking out and cramped, and everybody was, you could hear them saying, me too, me too, me too. And I just cried out to God. And I said, God, help me. And as if it was, I don't want to use the word by magic, it was as if it was by God's way of doing something. What happened was the bars that were in front of me slid open, and the bars actually turned into, it was like as if you see the prison movies, And when you see people that are encased in prison, and when they open the doors, it slides that way. That's what happened. I couldn't see where it's coming. It just came out, and it was just amazing. And I just walked out, and the other people walked out as well. And then we're just looking back thinking, how did that happen? What was that? And obviously it was God. And then, so these are the two dreams I had. And then I closed my eyes. I woke up after each one of those, closed my eyes again. And then I had a third dream. And the third dream was, I was walking down the road, a long road, it was a crooked road, but all that was in front of me, all I could see was a multitude of different weird type of obstacles, cars in the way, a big rock or a skip or people were fighting, or there's all these things that are just in the way. And I just had come from this place and I just wanted to get home after everything that I've been through. And I was like, I just kept moving. And God was just saying, I could hear this voice, so just keep going, keep going, keep going. And I was thinking, but look, these people are coming to stop me, blah, blah. But every time I got to an obstacle, by the time I got to that obstacle, it was moved out the way. I got to a car and there was this massive car that was in the way. I was thinking, what am I gonna do? Am I gonna climb over this car? By the time I got to it, it drove out the way. Or the skip, somebody came and lifted the skip. Or the rocks, somehow it moved out of it just by the time I got to there. But I just kept going and it kept going. Now, I share these three dreams because when I woke up, it was so stark that I had to, you know, really share this with the church, especially after the prayer meeting that we've had. Now, so hopefully this will make sense to some of you, the resonation. But this is what happened. And so I asked God, how do I interpret this? What am I supposed to say? And it was quite simple, the sense that I was given. The first dream, where, you know, I'd come out and there was an ambush, it was talking to any of us, you know, especially if you've been under persecution or you're under persecution, especially for sharing the gospel or talking about the gospel or doing any kind of ministration. Maybe it's in your family or co-workers or what have you, and they're coming to ambush you. The Lord was saying that he was the police. He was the final authority on this matter, and he will take care of it. Yeah, he was the final authority. That's what the police represented. The second dream, going down the stairwell, was me trying to get out of the way, trying to do everything I can by my own strengths and do everything. And no matter what happens, sometimes you can do everything in your own strength and you don't know what to do and you don't know how you're going to get out, or you try all these different schemes, you try going from A, B to C, and you're stuck, and you can get stuck. It's common. It can happen to all of us, and it does happen to a number of us. And that's why there were other people's voices that I could hear saying, the same thing's happening to me. Don't think that the situation that you're going through it's only happening to you. Maybe it's happening to other people as well. But what the Lord was saying to us, all you have to do was call out to him, and he can free you. Yeah, and I know the pregnant lady, she actually represented family, even if it's a family that's in this situation. The other voices is other people that you can't necessarily see are there. But your deliverance, you calling out to God, will cause the freedom of maybe some people's family, your family, or people that you don't even know. The last one was that God was saying, even though you expect the road to be straight and it might look, and what you're seeing is all something crooked and there's all these things in the way and there's obstacles and there's cars and there's all these things that you just do not know how you're going to get over or around or through, just keep moving because God will make a way. God will make a way. I'm hoping this is making sense to people. So obviously, this kind of led into me preparing for this message today. And I want to encourage you, and I want to encourage everybody that's out there, regardless of your situation, your any crisis that you might be in, where you find this, wherever you find this, hearing this message, seeing this message, God is talking to you today to say he will make a way, and he's going to make a way for you, and he's going to make a way for you. Hallelujah. I praise the Lord. I feel excited now as I was actually preparing this message. I'm getting that kind of sense now. And God will make a way. And I'm just going to go over some of these topics that this raises about our life and things that are going on. But I just want to remind you, everybody, God is going to make a way. If you're in the chat, I want you to type it out. God will make a way. Remind yourself. If you've got notes, God will make a way. Hallelujah. Thank you for some of these scriptures that have been shared. Please continue to share them. I'm going to share a slide now. And I'm going to read a scripture. Isaiah 43, 16 to 19. I am the Lord who opened up, opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned. Their lives snuffed out like smoldering candle wick. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I am about to do something new. Hallelujah. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. Hallelujah. God will make a way. It's interesting. I think that when we think about God making a way, there's things that come up into our mind. We think about obstacles, we think about things we're going through. And it's very, very easy for us, especially when we go through crisis or experiences where we're in difficulty or we don't understand what's happening. It's very, very easy for us to end up in a situation where we can fall into sin or fall into temptation. These are things that make us susceptible to temptation because we're weak, we're tired, we're worried, we're all of these different things. But it's interesting because when we talk about falling into sin or temptations, normally there's a set of things that come into people's minds about sin and temptation. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, sin and temptation, it could be stealing, it could be sex, it could be affairs, or it could be stealing, it could be gluttony. Maybe people think of the seven sins that are out there, but these temptations that we follow through, or we fall ourselves find ourselves falling into, there are a lot of temptations which are common to man. I'm going to use that word, common to many of us. So I'm not necessarily talking about those ones that everybody likes to talk about, but I'm talking about there are some temptations that we could fall into that we don't realize. And I definitely fall into them quite regularly, if I'm going to be honest, and you'll hear why. And maybe you might not have realized that you have as well. There's a story of a prophet called Elijah. And what happened was Elijah was a very powerful prophet. And in one of the stories in Elijah's, he was tempted. What happened was he had to go and see the leader at the time. And the leader at the time challenged him with his faith to say, if you have the all true God, set this these logs and these alight, call on your God and make him set this alight so that we can see some kind of demonstration that this is your God. And I'll have all of my other people, all of the my other occultic people, all of the call on their gods and do what they need to do, and we'll soon see who is the winner, the true God. So all of his occultic people, all the other gods, they started, what they actually did is they started to cut wood and make idols and make emblems of things, and they started calling, started cutting themselves and praying up to their God. And what happened was nothing happened to their sticks. They didn't catch a light or anything like that. All of them were praying and praying and doing all the things, but nothing happened. Elijah came. Elijah was so confident in God that he asked them to pour water onto the sticks, and they poured water onto the sticks and more water to make it even more apparent that, you know, it would be very difficult to catch these sticks alive, this thing alive, this offering alive. at a light, should we say. And then he called on to God. He actually called on to God 7 times. And then it caught a light. I'm giving a paraphrase. It's something that you need to go away. But what actually happened was that everybody was so stunned and shocked that they started to declare that Elijah's God was the God. Now, there was what actually happened was then a lady, Jezebel, I believe it was, Jezebel, who was related to, who was the wife of the person that was in charge, sent out a decree. And said, she was so upset at what happened, she sent out a decree and she said, by tomorrow, by the end of tomorrow, your head will be brought to me. That's what she said to Elijah. Elijah, imagine the same person that had just experienced that fire of God, the mighty power of God, was scared and he ran. All because of somebody's proclamation, because of somebody's word. And he ran and he ran out into the wilderness, and then he experienced some of these temptations that I am going to talk about now, which some of us have experienced, and we do as well sometimes, very easily when we get into crisis or when we get into worry or situation. But I want to remind you, as I said, remember the title of the verse, God Will Make a Way. The temptations that I want to tell you about today, there's about 7 of them that some of us, I know I've definitely had, fallen into, is really powerful. So I'm going to give you a few of them. First one, despair. Despair is the loss of hope. You know, the loss or the absence of hope, not having hope that your situation is ever going to change. Resignation, you know, I quit, I give up, all of these different things. That's resignation. He went through that. Failure. You know, failure is basically the lack of success in any of your areas of life. That could be failure. You think that this is something that is on you, that it becomes you. Inferiority. Feeling low, especially in status compared to others. Depression. Wow, depression is a deep one as well, because it means that there's a number of things that come up when we think about depression. I'm going to give you some of the symptoms of depression, common symptoms that people have. Sadness, tiredness, trouble focusing on something or concentrating, unhappiness, anger, irritability, frustration, loss of interest in pleasurable or fun activities. Sleep issues, either too much or too little. No energy. Craving unhealthy foods, anxiety, isolation. These are all symptoms of something which is called depression. And it's interesting because Elijah went through all of these things. And sometimes we have gone through all of these things as well, and we've fallen pressure to these things and fallen into this type of temptation to entertain the thoughts of depression or despair or resignation. And sometimes we even speak it. And it's interesting because, you know, if you've ever found yourself saying words like, I can't see a way out, I just give up, or this is too hard, I'm tired, or enough is enough, or this is just impossible, there's no hope. It's okay for them, but you know, for me, I can't see it until I see a change, or why me? Those types of words, unknowingly, is us falling prey to the temptation to fall into these feelings, these emotions. And if we let these emotions, these temptations engulf us, totally engulf us, it can actually lead to sin. It can actually lead to death. And it's interesting because it doesn't matter who you are, believer or non-believer, you can feel these things. And you can fall into these things, and you can be prey, and it can be part of your normal conversation, your normal talk, your normal speech, your normal action. But the what we have to do is we have to realize that these things are real. And yes, these are things, again, that we have to repent from. The word is strong, repent. we have to ask God for forgiveness for falling into these things. But more importantly, repent is turning around from all of these. It's interesting about these types of what I call temptations that we're talking now. These are all always focused on the me, how I feel. And it's interesting because, you know, these come from the enemy. Even in the Garden of Eden, it's interesting because when he tempted Adam and Eve, he tempted them with inferiority as part of it as well. He said, you know, you can be as God. You know, if you eat from the tree of good and evil, you can be as God. Subliminally, what he was saying was, you are inferior because you don't have all the wisdom. You don't have all the knowledge. You don't know everything. And if you compare yourself to God, you know, but you can become like them, or go and sin. Go and do what he told you not to do. Inferiority. It's very, why I say inferiority, because inferiority can be at the heart of even a believer, believers and non-believers. Let's think about this one. Inferiority, many times it's possible for us to say, I know that God might make a way for somebody else, that person. I've seen him make a way for that person. But that's because, I don't know, he wears a nice car, he wears a nice suit, he drives a nice car, or he's got a lovely family, he prays all the time, or he didn't sin like me last week or last night, or he or she gives a big offering, or has a big house, or this inferiority to compare to somebody else. And it's a sin that many of us, or a temptation that many of us can fall into, just comparing, thinking that because we haven't got, because we're not the same as somebody else, God doesn't bless us the same way. And the reason why God doesn't bless us the same way is because we're not worthy of it. But I come to tell you that you are worthy of God's blessing, and God will make a way for you. There's no high or low in God's eyes. We are all the same. God, Pastor Dennis is not more worthy of blessings than you. Bishop Jakes or whoever you want to think, he's not more worthy of blessing than you. And also, there's no position that you can be where God is going to bless you more or less than he wants to now. He wasn't. He's always been blessing you. It's interesting, the scripture that we read, that we was reading in the beginning, was actually a prophecy sent to a man called Cyrus. And Cyrus is a very interesting gentleman. In that time, Cyrus was what was known as a Gentile. He wasn't even a believer. He wasn't of the faith. Yet God was saying to him, he was going to make a way. It's a prophecy that was 200 years before he even came. And it was a prophecy that was sent about him before he even became part of the fold. And many of us can testify to the fact that when you look back over your life, even when you didn't acknowledge God, or you didn't know God, or you wasn't a believer, God has been working in your life. It was not a question of whether or not you or not were a believer or not. It was not that at all. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Do you know that God has been orchestrating your life and making ways for you, making things happen? It's only now that you're realizing it. But even while, when you weren't even a believer, when you wasn't, inverted commas, clocking up all these holy points that you have that you think get your blessings, it's not the case. God has been blessing you, and he blessed you at the beginning of time by even sending his son, knowing that he would need ahead of time, believer or non-believer, he's going to bless you. You know, there's many people that are out here thinking, but well, you could be listening to this message and you're not even a believer. You don't believe in God. This, one of my favorite films that I watch is Count of Monte Cristo, topical, written by a man called Alexandre Dumas, black writer. He wrote the Three Musketeers as well. But in the film, there's a man that has been imprisoned wrongfully for something that he didn't commit, crime that he didn't commit, and there's a he meets this man in there that starts to mentor him, another prisoner called Abba Ferrara. And in the scene, what happens is the man, Abba Ferrara, says to Edmond Dantès, who it is, it says, now, you know, the sins and the things that you have done, do not go and commit them to other people. Because God says, vengeance is mine. And Edmond Doncet says, but I don't even believe in God. And Abba Ferreira says to him these powerful words. He says, that doesn't matter. God believes in you. And I say the same things to you. It doesn't matter, even if you're an unbeliever, God believes in you, and that he has been setting you up and he's been making a way for you already before you even get to know him. Many of us can testify. When we look back at our lives and we say, wow, look at what God has done. That was even before I even knew him. He was making a way for me. God is going to make a way for you. So it's interesting, as I said, those feelings that we have are normally centered on ourselves and how we feel about a situation, or how this crisis, or how this situation that we're in has come about. And we think, what can I do? Like, for example, when I was in the dream and I was going down the stairs, I was trying everything that I could do. To try and get out of this situation. But no matter what I tried, I just kept getting more and more entwined and more tangled up. But God would make a way. And when I looked at it from my perspective, I couldn't see a way out. It was just tighter and tighter. The bars were tighter and tighter. The rope, the chain that was around me, the thing that was oppressing me, was just getting even more greater. But I come to tell you that God can make a way and will make a way for you. Some things we need to learn, as the scripture says, we need to look with eyes of faith and not eyes of sight, so to speak. I want to remind you that even though you're going through something, or you might anticipate something's happening, you don't know everything. There is a guarantee that God can make a way out for you, and he always does, as we'll go and look a bit further as well. It's about our perspective. If when we're in a situation, when we're in anything, normally human nature is that we look and we try, and it is right, we try and do things within our capability. And we are supposed to do things within our capabilities as well. God has given you gifts and abilities and things. But at the same time, it's not always bound by what we know or what we think or what we see. We must walk according to the fact that we also know and see that God is working with us and God is with you. And it's about changing our perspective to realize that not everything we have the answer for. Sometimes God has an answer that we haven't seen yet, but we can ask God and God will lead us. There's a scripture that says, you know, if you ask me, you will hear a voice behind you saying, go to the left or go to the right. This is the way that you should walk in it. If we are to petition God, if we are to call out to God, if we are in a situation, if you are anybody, have you said any of these words this week? I can't get out. I don't know how. This is too hard. I give up. I'm tired. Enough is enough. This is too hard. It's impossible. Any of these words that you've said this week, any of you, if you said it today, if you said it over your life, any of these, I've come to tell you that God has made a way for you and will make a way for you. And he's sending this message. The fact that you're hearing this message, it's not coincidence. It's underlining the fact that God wants to remind you that you are not alone. Hallelujah. If you're somebody that's trapped in a household situation, I want to remind you that God said he's going to make a way to you, for you and your family. Single mum, single dad, whatever it is, whatever situation you're in, I want to tell you that God is going to make a way for you. And as I said, it was about perspective. Perspective is a powerful thing. Sight is a powerful thing. I'll share it many times again. I'm colorblind. It's amazing that I'm colorblind. Everybody sees me doing lots of things with different fabrics and colors and stuff like that, but I'm colorblind. There's some colors which I just cannot see by my natural sight. I just cannot pick up on them. It's very difficult for me to differentiate between navy blue and black. It's quite close. Sometimes I can't see between orange and yellow, or I can't see between green and brown. Or I can't see, there's a number of colors that I just cannot see. And it's not that I'm not looking, it's just that I don't have the capability to see. So if I was to look with my own eyes, I can get it wrong. So sometimes when I'm choosing things with colors, I have to ask Stella, and once she finishes laughing at me, she says, that color's this. or if I'm in a shop, I have to go and ask somebody, sorry, what color is this? I think it's this, is it this? And they'll say, no, this is this color, or I'm looking for this, because my eyes are colorblind. So it is with our perspective sometimes. We have and can suffer from a color blindness or a perspective blindness, or a blindness that we just only see things from our point of view and our perspective and what we've got. And it's fine, that's how you're designed. Just like my eyes are designed perfectly from God, that's how it is. But sometimes we need to ask for another perspective, or we need to see something from another perspective to get the whole picture. And what the enemy wants you to do is always focus on you, yourself, your situation, your perspective, and forget about what God's perspective is. And what the enemy wants you to do is focus on your attributes as opposed to God's attributes. Now, I want to remind you that God is an amazing God. If we were to start looking at things from God's perspective, you're looking at the same landscape, but you will be able to look at it from a different perspective and see it from see and identify things from another viewpoint. And the landscape of your life and the landscape of your situation, your work, your home, your finances, your health, from a perspective of God is a different thing. You know, there's so many things. There's some words I want to remind you about God's attributes. And he wants you to remember that this is the attributes of the God that is working with you. It says God is infinite. That means he's infinite. You can't measure him. There's so many things that he can, it's immeasurable. There's nothing that you could pick up that could measure the power, the abilities, all the things that God can do, when and how and what. He's infinite. Hallelujah. He's self-sufficient. He doesn't need any help. We need help, but he doesn't need any help. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. That means he can do everything. He's omniscient. That means that he knows everything. Imagine. Well, there's so many times where like, I just don't get it. I don't know what else I can do, but God knows. Who else can you petition? He's all knowing. He's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. He's in your room. He's in my room. He's sitting next to me now. He's sitting next to you. He's in that situation with you right now. He's in that situation when you're free from that situation in the future. He's been with you before you was even here. He was with you when you was in your mother's womb. He was with you before that was even, before you was even a thought. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's wise. That means he is full of perfect, unchanging wisdom. He has all the information, not just that he has all the information, but he knows what's best to do for that, what to do with it. Difference between information and wisdom. He's faithful. There is no shadow of turning. God doesn't have to have an insurance policy for when he doesn't quite do it, or he doesn't have to say, I'm sorry, or he doesn't have to say, I repent, or I thought, I know I said it wasn't. God will do what he said he will do, and he will make a way for you. He's faithful. He's infinitely unchanging and true. God is good. Sounds simple, but God is good. So that his intentions are good. His actions towards you are good. His belief system about you is good. His belief system about your situation is good. His belief situation about your health is good. About your family is good. About your children is good. About your church is good. About your life is good. About your son or daughter that might be wayward is still good. Hallelujah. Unchanging, infinitely unchanging. God is just. That means that he will make the right decision. His scales are not unbalanced. He'll be fair. He is just in your situation. He is merciful. Hallelujah. God is merciful. And when he's looking at your situation, he is still going to have and can have mercy, yes, upon you. Even when we've sinned, even when we don't know him, even when we've cursed him, even when we've done all of these different things, even before we know him, even if we don't believe in him, he can still have and still does have and is still operating in unchanging mercy towards you and me. Hallelujah. God is gracious. That means he will give you undeserved favor. That means that sometimes things are just going to happen in your favor when you know you didn't deserve that outcome. God is gracious. God is loving. He's unchangeably loving. Think about the love that you have for somebody, maybe your children or your family. This is God, and this is how he sees you. These are the attributes of some of the attributes of God. God is holy. That means he's infinitely, unchangeably holy and right. And he's that perfect standard. So what he's not making a mistake. He's perfect. He's integral. He will do what he says he will do. That's the same root word. God is great. What else can we say but God is great? These are the attributes of the person that walks with you in your situation. So, you know, what we should be doing is looking at our situation, our issues from a perspective of, yes, your own eyes, but also from God's eyes. Yes, what you're going through is real, and what you're experiencing is real. It might be long, it might be long suffering, it might be something might change. But when you look through the perspective of God's eyes, one, there is no time, except for the time that God is good, which is now. So he will bring you out. You know, when you think about somebody that is self-sufficient, God doesn't have to sleep. He's not thinking, oh, I forgot about this person. He doesn't have to go and ask somebody's help. He doesn't have to refer to anything. He doesn't have to go and look it up. No, what God knows, and his perfect timing, he's already got it planned out. He's self-sufficient. He asked himself, he knows already in his mind. He's got it all planned out, all interconnected, all of us. He's omnipresent, he's there with all of us. And I want to remind you that he's that same omnipresent, that same self-sufficient God is with you, all-powerful God is with you, believer or non-believer. So it's interesting because, you know, even if you've gone through victories, like the people of God, like the Israelites, the Hebrews that were free and the Israelites and the Egyptians were chasing them into the desert, and they came up to the sea. And so they've got something in front of them which they can't cross, something that's behind them which is chasing them down. And sometimes life is like that. Sometimes, you know, you've got something which is chasing you, a date or a specific date when something's going to happen, or a somebody saying that we're coming after you and I'm going to kill you, or I'm going to do A, B and C, or I'm going to get you back, or all of these different things that happen. And in front of you, you've got an obstacle which you're thinking, where can I go? What can I do? I want to remind you, just like the people of God, God can make a way. Seas can move. Maybe you feel like you're too small. Remind yourself of the story of David. If you've got a Goliath, what have you got in your hand? What happens if God puts the perspective in your mind? Pick up your stone and use what you have. If you think that something is stopping you and it might be your sin, remember, God is a forgiving and merciful and loving God. If you confess your sin, he would actually take that sin and throw it into the sea of forgetfulness and not bring it back up to you. Why not take that opportunity? Confess your sin to God, ask for forgiveness, take on his mercy, move on. Repent and move on, turn around and move on. If you think that your situation is too hard or impossible, let me remind you that all things are possible for God, and all things are possible for them that believe in that God. I want to remind you that God will make a way. If it is physical, if it's something that has been troubling you for years and years and years and years and years, it's still not over, God can make and will make a way for you. We read the story of this lady in the Bible who had what was called an issue of blood, consistent bleeding and never stopping bleeding. And she touched the hem of Jesus's garment and instantly she was healed. And so sometimes what we need to do is touch the hem of God. We need to go and seek after him, go and touch him, go and reach out to him, call out on him, read his word, interrogate his word, touch the hem of God, and he might be able to make a way. Not might, well, he can make a way. A lot of the time we sit there thinking, well, it's okay for them people, but would God do it for me? And again, as I said, that's part of the inferiority complex which some of us take on, believer or non-believer. I want to remind you that God will make a way, even for you, even for me. Even though you think you're inferior compared to person A, B, C, D, and E, that is not the case. You are in his precious sight. You know, if a sparrow can fall, and he even knows that that sparrow in this world will fall, or if he knows if your hair on your head falls out and he knows the number of that hair on it, how much more does he know who you are? He cares for you and he will make a way for you. And I want to remind you today that God will make a way. Perspective. I challenge you to look at God's perspective. I challenge you to weigh up whose attributes you are looking at. I challenge you to think about the times when we have fallen prey to these temptations. There's a scripture which I'll read in a minute which says that, you know, these temptations are common to man. It means that many of us sometimes feel like this way, and I can definitely raise my hand. You know, sometimes when we think about temptations, we think about inverted commas, the big temptation, but these are the big temptations. These are the ones which are common because it affects how we feel, how we approach life, what we do, and what we think about. It is amazing. I'm going to read a scripture. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. In the 11 translations. The temptations in your life, remember what I said, the temptations, maybe I should read those again for you. Depression, despair, resignation, failures, inferiority, these are the ones I'm talking about today. So let's think. The despair, the depression, the resignation, the failure, the inferiority in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the depression, despair, resignation, failure, inferiority, or the temptations to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you.